Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the very Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordsman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us come together and petition the Lord together this day. Amen. Most gracious God, we thank you once again that you have blessed us to come together on this broadcast. You have blessed us, Lord, to see another day. And Father, we are so grateful for what you've done. Now, Lord, we come to learn from you this day, and that through your Spirit you begin to teach us the word of the Lord. So, Father, we ask today, Lord God, as we petition you once again, that not only for your Spirit to be with us, but that your Spirit will release unto us that which we stand in need of this day. So, dear God, we thank you for once again being able to petition you. And we thank you, Lord, for being a keeper of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Tonight, we're looking at, and the title of this message or lesson tonight is Having Feelings of Not Going to Heaven. Having Feelings of Not Going to Heaven. Now, before I go any further, if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask that you turn to a passage of Scripture before I go any further. First book of Peter, chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 17 through 18. That is First Peter, chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. For those of you who have followed us on the broadcast, you know, hey, I don't like rushing through. So if we get it all today, praise God. If not, concluded tomorrow. Lord, say the same. But the title, once again, of the lesson is Having Feelings of Not Going to Heaven. Having Feelings of Not Going to Heaven. This question or this lesson came from a question that was asked by one whose name was Ernest from Ohio. And I want to read to you the question that he asked from whence this lesson or message come from. And we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 after I read this question, because it's something I want to answer up front first before I go on to answering the question. But Ernest from Ohio asked this question, and he says, if a person is living according to God's word, why would they ever have a feeling that they're not going to heaven? Okay. Once again, if a person is living according to God's word, why would they ever have a feeling that they're not going to heaven? To heaven. Now, before I get into that question, the first thing glory be to God. I want to mention, and this is why I ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, because in this question, Ernest asks, he said, if a person, okay. Now, sometimes, like the show I mentioned, you call Ask the Pastor, and sometimes in life, too, when people want to know, quote, what the Bible says about this and that, sometimes the questions is not really clarified in what is being asked. Now, you said, well, what do you mean? Well, because this Ernest asks, if a person, when he said if a person is living according to God's word. Now, that word person, in a sense, could be misleading in a sense, and not saying that Ernest was trying to be low down or anything. It just sometimes when we ask certain questions, we have to become more specific. So when he said if a person is living according to God's word, I can only assume that he's talking about someone who is saved. You get what I'm saying? Now, once again, this is why I say I can only assume, because sometimes, well, with some people have the mentality that everybody's going to heaven. And some people have the mentality that everybody's living according to the word of God. Okay? That's true. Now, some of you listening, you may say, well, I don't know, Brother Nate. Well, I tell you what, keep living, you'll find out. Just because, for example, most of the time, mostly just by every funeral you go to, the person that died, the people have put him in heaven. You know, it's just like saying that everybody that has died was saved. Well, that ain't true. But see, many times when you go to these funerals, and let's say especially if you knew the person didn't want to know nothing about Jesus, couldn't stand Jesus, always mocking Jesus, blah, 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 and all that, and then they died, many times that person's family has said, well, he's up there in the pearly gates and looking down us above, below, from above down below. You know, they say that, okay? So when this Ernest asks the question, if a person is living according to God's word, I can only assume that he's talking about a believer. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Glory be to God. And you know, before I go into the scripture here in Peter, I remember a few years ago, one of the things that God dealt with me about was our terminology. You know, this is why in the word, many times God would say, be careful what you say. And sometimes our terminology can be misleading, okay? Give you another example that is like, for example, if a woman who had been done wrong by a man goes to talking in a place with people and say, you know, men are dogs. Well, when you say men are dogs, everyone that is of a gender of a male, even little boys that growing up to be what? Men. So when you say men are dogs, you make it like that everyone that is of the gender, a male gender classified as a man, is a dog. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, if you said that, hey, some men are dogs, then that's you're clarifying it by using some. But when you just say men are dogs, then you're saying by your statement, and some may say, well, I wasn't saying all men were dogs. Well, you didn't clarify because you just said men are dogs. And anyone that's under the gender of a male is calling to the class of men, okay? Amen. Just like on my job, I have come across some men that say women are gold diggers. Or they say women, all they do is blow the money, blow your money. Well, and when some men I heard made that statement like that, I'm going to be honest with you. they were talking about everyone that's in the gender of a girl or a female that is a woman. And the reason why, when I know that some of them meant that when they said women, talking about all women, because one time I had to really stop a guy in his tracks because he went as far as say, you know, they do this, do that with your mom. You know, your wife do it too. I said, oh, wait a minute. You don't know nothing about my wife. Okay? I had to stop him in his tracks. And in a sense, I remember that day, I think I was kind of sensing he was going to go this way. Okay? Because you got some men that some women have blown the money. Some women are not good with money. And so that male that had come across that, he's now associated with all women. So he'll say, women, don't get no woman of money, you know, amen. So that's why, you know, our terminology is important. And like I said, I'm not trying to say this person, Ernest, was trying to be low down or dirty. It's just that when you look at the question he asked, person is living, according to the word. Well, anyone that's considered a human being would be a person. Okay, so when you say if a person is living according to the word of God, then let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, and look what the word says. For the time has come, okay, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and a sinner appear? Now, do you see that? Glory be to God. Now, thank you, Jesus. So when Ernest asked the question, if a person is living according to God's word, why would they ever have a feeling that they're not going to heaven? And we just read these two scriptures here. You can see that. I'm going to just assume that in that statement right there, you couldn't be referring to sinners. Hallelujah. Because notice that he said, glory be to God, that Peter said that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where would the ungodly appear? Okay. Now, if the ungodly was going to appear or the sinner was going to appear where the righteous is going to be, he wouldn't need to make that statement nor ask that question. So the righteous, they scarcely be saved. Because, see, in heaven, it's nothing but people that are what? Saved. You know, there's no unsaved, not born again believer. There's people that's not being born, that's not saved under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all saved. So when you see Peter say, well, where would the sinner appear? Okay. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And so we know that it couldn't be heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? So when Ernest asked this question, this is why you're going to hear, this is why you hear me say, I'm going to assume he's talking about someone who is saved. Because a sinner could not live according to God's word. Amen. Now, I'm just going to throw something out there because this is not the center of our lesson tonight. But, and you, some will say, well, why can't they? Why you say that? Why they can't they? Because, number one, they're not born again, which means that they're totally dominant by the sin nature. Okay? And according to the word of God, any of us that wasn't saved and in the world, we was what you call under the rulership of the prince of the power of the air. We were other children of disobedience. Now, who was the prince of the power of the air? Satan. And so we carried the same nature that he did. He does, rather. So therefore, the sinner could not live according to God's word because his nature is in conflict or contrary or opposite to the nature of God. See, this is why as a believer, You had to be born again because God's nature had to be put into your spirit. And you had to be given the Holy Ghost. There will be additional help for you to walk according to the word of God. Do you see what I'm saying? So therefore, the sinner man could not live according to the word of God. Amen. Now, I know when you talk to some sinners and you talk to them about accepting the Lord, sometimes I call them, you know, the resume sinners, you know. And what I mean by resume, they got to give you the whole lineup of what they don't do. When you talk to them about giving their life to Christ, and I've come across them, they have done this, the first thing they got to do is throw their whole resume at you. Well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go out, and they think that, quote, because they don't do those things, they're good. So that's supposed to nullify you talking to them about accepting the Lord. In other words, to them, why would I need to accept the Lord? I'm a good person, okay? And this is why, for one to truly be, to get saved, they had to see their sinful self and see their need of a Savior. And so if that person don't see that, and even if it revealed to him, don't accept it, then he's not born again. And if he's not born again, there is no way he can live according to the word of God because he's still dominated by the sin nature. And once again, that sin nature is contrary or opposite to the nature of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. The power of the Holy Ghost. Now, God wants them to get saved. God wants them to live according to his word. But when they do that, they can't live as being, quote, a sinner. They have to be born again. So this is why in this question, if a person is living according to the word of God, why should they ever have feelings that they would not go to heaven? And that's why I said that I have to assume that this Ernest, when he said if a person, he has to be talking about someone that's saved. Even though he didn't say someone is saved, he said if a person, and anyone that's considered a human being is a person. And if, and since that's the case, that would mean that you're saying everybody living according to the word of God, and that's not true because everybody is not capable. Only those that are born again are capable of living according to the word of God. Amen. I mean, like I said, some of the sinners will give you their whole resume. But I have said this and I say it again. I don't care how great you think you are. I have told many, I don't care how tough a man think he is. I said, I give you one day to walk in Jesus' shoes. You couldn't make it. Listen, it's a tough time for a Christian to do it. Okay? Now, if it's tough for a Christian to do it, you can imagine the state of a sinner. Okay? I mean, many of us as Christians, we try, but then we do a stumble, we do a little trip and an aha and oh no here and there. Now, if that's happening to the Christian, what do you think is going on? What do you think about the sinner? Just like Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved. You see that word scarcely? Wow, that means just making it in, people. He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where would the sinner appear? Amazing, ain't it? Amen. Now, going on. So, Ernest asked the question, if a person is living according to God's word, why would they ever have a feeling that they're not going to heaven? Okay. Interesting. Now, I can tell you why some believers may have this feeling, or some of those who are supposed to be classified as born-again believers would end up with such a feelings of them not going to heaven. And I can lay down some points on that. And so like I said, not flying through this. The first thing we need to do is let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for the written word. Glory be to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now look what the word of God said. And this is Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica. And he said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Okay? That word holy means fully, completely, you know. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless, coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Now, notice he mentioned spirit, soul, and body. Okay? This is what is called the fullness of man. Okay? And see, because see, some believers don't even know this, okay? Some believers don't know this. That's why teaching of the Word of God is very important, and we have, for many years, to the much degree, neglect teaching. We have elevated preaching, and preaching has its place. But in many instances, we have made preaching the only thing. You know, some pastors are more prone to or more relying upon preaching than they are teaching. Some of them, I'm going to be honest with you, don't even care about teaching the flock. They just want to get up there and preach. You know one of the reasons why? Because you get up there and preach, ain't nobody going to stop you in the middle of preaching and ask you questions. So you can get up there and say stuff. But see, when you're teaching, like Sunday school or Bible study, there's a point where questions are going to be asked. Okay? It is more of a breakdown period, okay? Amen. So this spirit, soul, and body here is the fullness of man, okay? Now, we notice that it mentions the soul, okay? The soul, now, the things that makes up the soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. Your mind, your will, and emotions. Those make up your soul. Let's put it this way. And the best way, and I heard Brother Kenneth Hagin say this, and it was a good illustration of the best way you can remember this. By saying spirit, soul, and body, this is how you say it. You say, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in the body. That soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Because, get this, remember, the question that Ernest had was that if a person is living according to God's word, why should they ever have a feeling that they're not going to heaven? Why should they ever have a feeling, okay, that they're not going to heaven? So feeling is your emotions, which is where? In the soul realm, okay? So there's soul dominating here. Now, having a look at that, let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Once again, keep it in mind that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in the body. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. Your feelings, which is your emotions, is in the soul realm. Hallelujah. Now, look at John chapter 3. verse 5-6. Look what Jesus said. And Jesus, remember, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and telling him how you can enter the kingdom. And Jesus had paved the way. You understand what I'm saying? See, Jesus paved the way for one to enter the kingdom. But see, man, to some degree, have come up with his own way. That's why you hear some of these preachers that are supposed to be men of God is talking about there's more than one way to get to heaven. Well, the only way I know to get to heaven is the way Christ said come. But just like with all these other religions here on earth, some of them, just like, for example, Oprah Winfrey is one of them that's talking at a lot of ways or different ways to get to heaven. And because of her status as being well-known on this earth and very rich, people are following what she's saying, you know. See, on this earth, if you're very rich and very popular, you can get people to follow you. Amen. You can call what's classified a goat, you can call it a cat. And people, because of your status here on earth, will side with you. Jesus says to Nicodemus, and he tells him how one can enter the kingdom. Verse 5, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Okay? Now, notice verse 6. Okay? Notice verse 6. Because it said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, what did Paul say, which was the wholeness or completeness of man? He said, spirit, soul, and body. And so here in verse 6 in John 3, we notice that we don't see body, we don't see spirit, soul. He said, we see body in verse 6 as far as being born of, not being, or being born of the flesh is flesh, but being born of the Spirit is spirit. Let me put it to you this way, because that's kind of confusing what I said a minute ago. This is what I'm saying. When it comes to being born again, it involves the Holy Spirit. And notice in verse 6, he did not say that which is born of the Spirit is soul. He didn't say that which is born of the Spirit is body. He said that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, the first word spirit, which is capitalized, is the Holy Ghost. The second word spirit, lowercase, is your spirit, okay? Do you get that? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, your spirit was born again. It went through the new birth. It was changed. Your soul and your body wasn't. Okay? So that means your soul and your body is still in, quote, what would be called the fallen type state. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hidaboshata. Glory to God. I thank God for his word. Now keep that in mind. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's look at verse 21. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 21. And look what the word of God says in James chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." So if your soul was already saved, James wouldn't have made that statement. So James right here is speaking in agreement with what Jesus said in John chapter 3. that your soul was not born again. Glory to God. Do you see that, what I'm saying? And see, we are told, notice in verse 21, he said to the person, to the believer, he said to receive with meekness the engrafted word. So the grafted word is made available, but we as believers got to receive it. Do you see that? So we're told to do something. When it comes to our soul, we're told to do something about it. Glory be to God. Do you see what I'm saying? So when it comes to the question, Ernest asks, if a person is living according to the word of God, and that's if they are living according to the word of God, because if they're living according to the word of God, then, you know, completely, in a sense, this shouldn't be in a problem in a sense, but we all fall short. But anyhow, if they're living according to the word of God, how can they have feelings of not going to heaven? Well, we just looked at how the soul is in the unregenerated state. And if you don't take charge of that soul, those feelings, it's not going to side with what God's word say. Do you get what I'm saying? Our feelings, now don't get me wrong, we all got emotions. That's part of us. But the emotions was not set by God to rule. God did not tell us in the word to let your emotions rule. And see, many times we let our emotions or our feelings rule. Do you get what I'm saying? Because see, once again, you just saw in the scripture, your soul was not born by the spirit. You see that? Your soul was not born again. Your spirit was. So our soul and our body is still in that unregenerated fallen state. So therefore, if it was left unchecked, of course it's going to go contrary to God's word if it's left unchecked. And many times what has happened, why a person living according to the word of God have these feelings of not going to heaven is because we're letting our emotions rule, which is in the soulish realm. We're not keeping it in check. We're not bringing it in line with the word of God. And once again, we all got emotions, okay, as part of us. But when we let it rule, you'll see how that it would not coincide or go parallel with the word of God, but it actually go opposite. You see that? Because the emotions deals with, in dealing with the senses also. It's of the senses, because feelings, emotions are dealing with the senses. So the senses can only reach out to the senses. Okay? So if your eyes, you are seeing something different than, you know, what is said that's supposed to be, and your feelings go to moving and you leave it unchecked, well, of course, you're going to feel like, and we all have fallen in that state at times, many times. I've fallen many times. Thank God for mercy. Okay. Amen. So why, if a person, as he asked, would live according to the word of God, why would they have to die? Because that's an example of their feelings left unchecked. Now I can imagine this Ernest, and I just imagine that probably one of the reasons why he asked this question, because he probably have come across some people who's supposed to be saved, and they start talking about, I just don't feel like I'm going to heaven. And he might have been shocked or blown away. And then on top of that, ain't no telling who said it to him. This might have been somebody he saw or knew, been in the church, quote, in the church for years, coming out saying that. And so he's probably wondering, if they living according to the word of God, how can they have, well, see, if we just live according to the word of God, which is by faith, if we truly do that, we won't have those feelings, okay?
But see, here's the thing I want you to understand, and I may have it on here, and I may not. But if not, Lord say, saying, I'll get into it. But we have to live by faith, and I'm going to get to that hopefully a little later on, if not in part two. But when our soul is left unchecked, this is why I've heard certain people, and they don't realize sometimes this statement they make is kind of a dangerous statement. And I really watch out for people like that, okay? If I had to say I've mostly heard it from women, I tell you the truth, I don't think, and I'm not saying men have never said it. Now, so put your clubs down before you try to, or your tomatoes or whatever you want to throw at me when I say this statement. I'm not saying that men have never made a statement. I just haven't been about a man that have, but I've heard where a woman said, you know, I'm a very emotional person. Now, mostly when you come across people that speaking like that, emotions rule them. Emotions rule. And those feelings rule. And sometimes we can be feeling a certain way and be dead wrong. But see, when you got people that's going by emotions ruling, whatever they feeling, they think the feeling is right. Amen. If the woman feel like, me and this man, we ought to be together, not just feel like that. Now, the man could be married. You get what I'm saying? He can be married. And she might, I just love him. I just feel like, I just feel like that we ought to be together. Well, if she followed that emotions and she ain't caring about his wife, well, she's wrecking the marriage. Or taking it, or being one of the partakers in wrecking the marriage. Now, you know, it takes two. So the man got her. So if that man give in to her too, so he's involved too now, okay? You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now let's look at Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 12. Thank God for the word. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 and verse 2. Romans chapter 2. Now look what the word of God says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, look what he's telling us to do. We have to renew our mind. You get to, well, renew it with what, Brother Nate? With the word of God. And see, our mind is in the soul realm, okay? So if we got to take some command or charge over our soul, okay, if we got to take some command or charge over our mind, then that means we got to take command or charge over our emotions or feelings. Because just like he's telling with the mind, see, the mind, he said, be not conformed to this world. So in other words, if we didn't renew our mind, it would conform to this world. See, that's what's wrong with some believers today. They think like the world think because it's a what? It's an unrenewed mind. See, this is why God speaks of you studying the word of God. And remember, and I mentioned this on the broadcast a long time ago, but when you're studying, I gave you three things that you're doing when you're studying. These three things together now, complete, will make up you studying. Number one, you're reading with the intention of learning. Number two, you are searching. And number three, you're meditating. Okay? You get that? And so this is very helpful and important in the renewal of the mind. Because we got to renew our mind with what the word of God says. So if people know, there we go again, let's get specific. If there are some professing believers who don't renew their mind with the word or don't take hold of their feelings with the word and get it in line with the word of God, well, then, of course, the feelings is going to rule. And this is where you get some supposed to be believers talking like, I don't know if I'm going to go to hell. I don't know. Some of them, you actually say, well, if you die today, where would you, you know where you go? I don't know. I don't know where I go. Hey, amen. I'm seriously speaking here, okay? You ask the way, do you know, you know, if you die, do you know where you going? They'll tell you, say, well, I don't know. And you be like, you don't know? No, I don't know. Think I'm going to heaven. Wow. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying? Glory. We got to take control of our feelings. We can't let it, like I said, now we all got feelings. You know, God know you have feelings. That's part of us, okay? But whenever we just letting it rule, and if you don't believe this, just continue to let yours rule and you'll find out that you're going to be feeling. Just like, for example, when you read the word of God and the word of God tell you something's wrong, but you feeling like ain't nothing wrong with it and you let your emotion rule, guess who you're going to go with? You're going to go with your emotions. Amen. I've heard on different things, for example, let's look at some modern today. There are some who's supposed to be professing to be saved. When you tell them that homosexuality is wrong, they will let you know, say, I don't feel like it's wrong. Well, the word of God tells you that. But once again, if feelings is the overall big ticket in your life that leads you, then, you know, of course, you know, you say, well, I just don't feel like, I feel like it's okay. Have you noticed that today? You know, have you noticed that with more of the people quote in the church that when you find in the words things that God calls abomination or iniquity or wickedness, more and more the quote of the church folks will start saying, you know, I just don't feel like, you know. You know, it's just like when Joel Osteen back here some years ago was interviewed about homosexuality, and he made a remark, well, you know, the Bible says wrong, but, you know, I don't know. I'm like, what? What you mean you don't? Huh? So in making that statement, even though they said, did he do it on this? I know he did something else. He got in trouble that he apologized to his members. I think that's when he was talking about that there were more than one way to get to heaven. So I don't know if he apologized about that remark about homosexuality. But I'm like, you know, it's plain in the scripture. Right. And he's talking like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Oh, okay. Even though you're looking at it right there, you don't know. You're not for sure. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word of the Lord. I want to... And this scripture comes to me. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Still dealing with what? Now, see, so one of the things is that when the soul is left unchecked, or the feelings, that part of the soul is left unchecked, okay? Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Look what the word of God says. It said, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, okay? The just, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So how is it that some who profess to be believers can have feelings of not going to heaven when they're not living by faith? He said, the just shall live by faith. See, Ernest's question was, if a person live according to God's word, well, the best way you can live according to God's word is by faith. And so if you're having the feelings that you're not going to heaven, then you ain't living by faith. Now, here's the thing that I've seen, and I've seen this in my life personally too, that with us as believers, and I direct this at you. For example, talking about faith, the God kind of faith. Have you noticed that there are certain areas in your life that your faith is so strong that even if the devil just try to put his head in there, you just slap it off so quick without, and it don't faze you. But then there are certain other areas in your life that the devil comes, you're sweating hard, you knees are buckling, you're almost tempted more to do that sin, okay? And see, in our lives, many times I know of some things that our faith is strong in certain areas where it's not. And in the areas it's not, it's the areas that God wants us to develop that our faith may be strong in that area. So when you find supposed to be believers who's supposed to be saved and who is said to be living according to God's word, talking about they don't know, they kind of feel like they don't feel like they're going to heaven, then there's a lack of faith, okay, in there. Because the word talks to us about it, being with God, okay? And so, therefore, if you like, well, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Well, that's not faith. Not faith in God. Amen. Because the word lets you know. So, that means that you don't believe what the word says. Remember what Hebrews 11 defines to us, 11 and 1, defines to us what faith is, the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Let us know that faith doesn't depend on our feelings to believe God. Okay? So if you depend on your feelings, that ain't the God kind of faith. So you're not walking in the God kind of faith. And I'm going to tell you like this. It takes the God kind of faith to live according to the word, to God's word. Did you know that? Amen. It takes, listen, people, it takes the God faith to live according to the word of God. It takes believing the word of God. It takes you overriding your emotions, putting it on the back burner and all that, to live according to the word of God, okay? So when Ernest asks this question, if a person is living according to the word of God, the question is, are they really? Are they really? Amen. Now, I've seen people just assume that people are living according to the word. Now, I've heard that too. I have heard some just assume that a person is saved. Just assume it. So I've heard people just assume that a person is living according to the word of God. Some of these people, they rarely see. They just know them a little bit and probably good friend with them. Say, well, I know, because I had one guy one time who was a Christian, was talking to me about this other guy. And I made a remark concerning him about to him about this other guy. The cussing man, he's a Christian. He got, and I'm like, how you know he's a Christian? See, some people think because somebody says something or do something nice, that automatically makes them a Christian. No, it don't. No, it don't. And so they'll go around and say, well, hey, so-and-so is a good Christian person. And I remember when I would hear people say that, I try not to stare at them. But I sit up there and start thinking to myself, how you know that? Okay? This same person you talking about, is cussing Jesus out and talking all kind of nasty and all that because y'all good friends and good buddy together. You saying, well, I know he's a Christian. And I'm like, how you know? Because y'all exchange friendly words together? How do you know? Okay. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is my strive for my life, to walk according to the word of God. Have I done it in every area? No, I haven't. I'm just going to be honest to you. I'm not saying that to be braggadocious, okay? I need help, just like everybody else do. But for me to tell you that I have lived according to the word of God in every area of my life, I'll be lying to you. No, I haven't. Now, you got some people that want you to think they have. But I'm not going to fall in that category with those people, okay? So I admit, no, I haven't. My strive is to get better, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to read a verse to you. It's what is called the word of the Lord. Jesus sending his word to mankind through his angelical messenger. And I want to read a verse out of here to you, going on with what we're talking about tonight. Amen. And it's called the ninth message. Jesus sent it out March 8, 1929. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Where he sent this, his angel, to Brother Otto Fetty at 3 a.m. on this day. Amen. Now I want to read to you something that he said. He brought the word from Jesus. This is Jesus' words. He said, I come to you again to instruct you as to the work that shall be done. For behold, Satan is at work to fill the hearts of men with doubts and fears. There are those who read the words of the Lord and the prophets and have faith therein. Upon these, Satan has no power. There are those who have read the word of the Lord, but whose faith is weak, and they doubt when Satan comes to them as an angel of light. Now, I'm going to stop there. Now, notice that the last thing I read. The Lord said, there are those who read his words, but their faith is weak. So, going to this question, what Ernest talking about here, how can a person have feelings that they're not going to heaven? Well, you know, you may see them and think, okay, they've been reading the word. But listen, this is what we got to understand about reading the word. When you're reading the word, you got to have faith in it. See, that's why, you know, one of the things that I've seen, let's say some people around my age or a little bit older, that they would talk about when they used to do as a teenager, one of the things they would talk about how they would read, they read the whole Bible. Well, you would look at it and say, well, that's good. You read all the Bible. That's good. That's great. I'm glad you did that. But that don't necessarily mean they know anything. And some of them was just reading. It wasn't reading and having faith therein in what they read. You get that? See, some people read the Bible because, you know, they was at home. There wasn't nothing else going on. So they, you know, the Bible, quote, became like a hobby to them. You understand what I'm saying? Well, they just started reading. And so now to this day, they'll tell people, and yeah, I read the whole Bible. But you, some of these same folks, you ask them about how to lead a person to Christ, they can't tell you. But they read the whole Bible. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for his blessed word. I am going to continue tomorrow with part two of this. It's going to be second and final part. Glory to God. To this having feelings of not going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank God for his precious word. Heavenly Father, I thank you once again that your word is you. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. what you're going to do and how you have blessed your people. I pray that you were blessed and my words have brought glory and honor to your name tonight, and that your people would take what they've heard back to you. So, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. And I give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, thank God for all you that's listening. Don't forget part two tomorrow night, Having Feelings of Not Going to Heaven. Amen. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. So once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.